This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'll tell you what, I am just so happy to be with you today. I certainly am. You make my day Monday through Friday as we gather together at this same time on this same station discussing issues of importance to our lives and to our faith, right? The way in which we live our life in the world according to our faith. And so I always like to invite you at the top of the program here to join me live. We've got a toll-free number for you if you're in North America. Here it goes. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Punch in those numbers and join us today. Matthew Gubinski will be very happy to take your call and get it up on the board for me. We love to know if you're a first-time caller, because if you are, you know what I do. I ring my bell for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. We do invite you also to join us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. The chat feature is there for you to use. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board, and we'll be able to address everything. I have to say, YouTube and Facebook has been relatively quiet. Yeah, I've noticed in the last several weeks, you've been very quiet out there. Maybe it's the summertime. I don't know. All of that being said, though, we're here and we want to hear from you by phone, out there in social media. I don't care how you get in touch with us. Just do. Do want to let you know that we're also available to you through email. You can email your questions to us, and then on a future program, we'll address them. We don't retrieve the emails when we're on the air. I suppose we could, but we don't do that. We do save them, however, and we address them at some future point in time. How do you send an email to us? Well, this is what you do. It's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Just send them to womenofgrace@ewtn.com. It's always available for you, right? It's always available for you right there. You know what else is always available for you? Our listener comment call line. You can call and leave a comment for us. It's 205-795-5773. That is 205-795-5773. So I invite you to use that number as well. So we're abundantly available to you. Yes, we are. So let's get together and have some holy conversation today about very holy things. Like to remind you about some of the things coming up at Women of Grace, and we've got a ton of stuff happening. You know, the fall is always a busy time of the year. I know here in Alabama, the kids are back in school. I know in Florida, the kids are back in school. In some areas, the children still start the day after Labor Day, which is what I think is a very civilized way to approach things, you know. However, your fall might have already begun in a sense, because the children are back at school. It's time for everything to get revved up in oh so many ways. And we're making, hay right now at Women of Grace, all kinds of things coming up for you in the fall, some of which are beginning in the very near future. September the 9th is the first out of the box here, as I can see. September the 9th, we begin a book study. Sue Brinkman will be leading it. She leads our book studies and does a wonderful job. So many of you know her from Wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live. And, you know, Sue often does other things for us. She speaks at our Malvern retreats. She's actually an employee of Women of Grace. She's part of our staff. She keeps up our New Age blog. But she leads our book studies, and she is a very competent book study leader. She's a very good teacher. And we are going to be discussing a book that I have long waited to have discussed. And this is a beautiful book about Saint Thérèse of Lisieux and a seminarian. It's called Maurice and Thérèse, The Story of a Love. And you say, oh, wait a second, though. She was a cloistered nun. How could she have somebody that she loves? Well, isn't that who God is? God is love. We're all called to love. We're all called to be godlike in the way in which we live our lives. And there was a special affinity, a special sisterly and brotherly affinity, affection between Maurice and Therese. And he was a seminarian. She came by him. She prayed for a lot of seminarians. They began to correspond. He was sent off to missionary territory. And she really sustained him through her prayers of encouragement, affirmation. You're going to find these beautiful, beautiful letters to be just something that really stimulates your heart and stimulates your soul. Many times you're going to stop along the way, especially we women, because we're prone to this. You know, we're going to be touched so deeply that tears will form in our eyes and probably spill out of them and roll down our cheeks. But all of that being said, it's going to be a beautiful discussion. You'll grow by it. I think that, you know, when we study these saints, especially when we get to see it just a little bit beyond the biographical discussions that are given to us that are in so many books and also even in their own autobiographical works. But when we hear them communicating with others, we really get a sense of their depth. We get a sense of who they really were as individuals, as people, in an interactive kind of way. And so this is going to be something that's going to show you maybe a side of Therese of Lisieux that you were not familiar with, a very touching side. So we're inviting you to join our book study. That is September the 9th. We have the books available for you. You can order them right there at womenofgrace.com. Just get out to our website and sign up, register for this course. All of it's available for you. You'll see when you click on it, it's listed in the upcoming events. When you click on it, you'll see a big purple button. Click here to register. You'll be able to register. I also had the pleasure of interviewing Bishop Patrick Ahern, who is the one that pulled together, compiled, if you will, all of these letters and correspondences and put them into book form many years ago, in the late 90s. And we have all of our programs from back then. I'm not sure that one is out there, but I am going to see if we can't locate it. I know that we can. And get it up there, because you'll hear him then talk a lot about this book, giving us insights too. So it's going to be a beautiful opportunity for you. Get out there and check it out. We also have some wonderful things that are beginning to happen in October. Gracious, I'm so excited about this. We are going to hold our second Benedicta Institute Fall Week-Long Immersive. It is going to be held at St. Bernard's Abbey in Cullman. That's Cullman, if you want to go out there and search it. It's Cullman, Alabama. An absolutely beautiful, beautiful location. It sits on several acres of land, and it's out there, you know, it's off of the road a good piece. They have the Ave Maria Grotto there, which is really a spectacular kind of a thing that was done by a Benedictine monk using just anything that he found, whether it was pieces of glass or little stones, or whether it was, thimbles, for example, all kinds of things that he used to create these scenes from the Bible. You'll be able to move along and be in awe over what he did. He did it over several years, many, many years. It was his life's work, actually. That is there for you. There's a lake there that you can stroll around. It's going to be beautiful. The theme, the dignity of dust, contemplating our humanity. It is the second required class in our God in the Human Person bucket to earn a certification in Catholic women's leadership. You can read all about our Benedicta Institute. It's named for St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein. Get out there to our website and check it out. We would love to be there. I'm going to be there, God willing, if I'm still alive. I'm going to be there as a student. It's going to be beautiful. Coming right back, 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Oh my goodness. Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Let me give you that toll-free number for you to use. It's 833 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I am so looking forward to hearing from you today. Let's get busy and make those phone lines ring so that Matthew Gubinsky can answer them and put you up on the board and we can be on the air together. Again, that's 833-288-EWTN. Michael McCall loves to go out there into social media land and retrieve the questions or comments that you leave for us there in the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. I'm inviting you to use them. You know, let's talk today. Let's see what's going on. It's a Friday here at Women of Grace Live. We like to dedicate Fridays to giving glory and honor to God for all of the blessings that we've received by way of Him. Yesterday, even, we were kind of warming up because I had some people calling in that had beautiful praise reports to share with us about a number of things, mostly about how God has interacted in their lives. And I'm telling you what, every time God shows up in your life, it's a glory to God day. And we want to give Him praise and thanksgiving for what He's done. We want to proclaim His marvelous deeds. We fulfill sacred scripture when we do such things, you know, and it all leads to the good. It certainly does. It edifies those who hear your testimony and hear your story. So inviting you to share your blessing. And what I do on these days is I encourage you to go back, you know, from Sunday forward to today. Where have you seen God show up? Sometimes He shows up in, you know, outrageously spectacular ways. And sometimes it's very quiet and subtle and almost hidden. But He's there nonetheless because He's always there. So let us hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have a most interesting caller out here, and I want to get to her right away. I have some other stuff to share with you. We'll see if it comes out, but if you keep me busy, we'll just postpone what I wanted to do for another day because you're far more important than what I want to do. Barbara is there in Jacksonville, Florida. She's listening to us via YouTube, it says. So we're very happy. So, Barbara, how are you?
Doing very, very well. And you?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
Yes. I hope you can hear me fine.
We hear you just fine. So Perfect. You have something to share
Perfect.
With us.
Well, my as your prayer warrior, yes. And I just, I can't, it's amazing. At church yesterday, I found out that Mary, our beloved Mary, never died, hence the assumption, right? So she was assumed into heaven. So there's a two-part there. One is that, not why I've never heard of it, but the question is, some say, as I'm researching a little bit more, that she died at the foot of the cross when Jesus did. Now, that doesn't make sense. I guess just that. We'll leave it that. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, one thing I know is that Mary did not die at the foot of the cross. As a matter of fact, it seemed to be rather common for a period of time that people would depict her, oftentimes painters, and people, you know, also, I guess, wrote about this, that Mary swooned, you know, at the cross. You know, what swoon is, you kind of like faint, right? And so some people might think that that was an indication that she died. But the fact of the matter is that theologians have put that to bed, saying that Mary did not swoon at the foot of the cross. St. John writes and tells us in his gospel that Mary stood at the foot of the cross. So Mary did not swoon. She did not faint. She certainly didn't die at the foot of the cross. And artwork that depicts her that way really shouldn't be extolled because it's just, it gives a false, it's really just not a true perspective of what happened there. And we want to try to be at least scripturally faithful when it comes to sacred art. But now this question about Mary dying, the church refers to that moment between Mary's, I guess I would say her life on earth and her assumption into heaven as a time of her dormition. They use that language, dormition. The church has never made a firm statement as to what happened to Mary. The church has never denied that maybe she died, but if she did, you know, it wouldn't have been die in the traditional sense. I'm going to explain what I mean by that, and I think that this is what they mean by that. Hopefully, I'm not saying something that isn't accurate. If anybody knows differently, tell me. But then the church has also said that it's perfectly fine to hold to the notion that Mary did not die at all, that there was nothing like that, and that the angels just came at a certain moment in time and lifted her up into heaven. Why both of those are very closely linked. And let's just talk about this. The qualification for a physical death is that the heart stops. You know, that is, you know, we talk about brain death today, but that's kind of another matter. The technical moment of a person's death is the cessation of a heartbeat. So that is physical death. But we also don't know when the soul leaves the body. Now, when the soul leaves the body, that indicates a different, you know, a different dimension of that person's life. It's a move from temporal life to eternal life. St. Thomas Aquinas said, we don't know. The soul might remain in that body for about a half an hour. This is why when a person dies, that body can be blessed. You know, I have even heard that it's possible to anoint that body, after the heart stops, to anoint that body, because we are not certain when the soul leaves the body. So if there was anything like that imitated death for Mary, she would have been assumed before the soul left the body, and it could have happened, you know, almost instantaneously, just like she received the great grace of her Immaculate Conception. It happened instantaneously when sperm met egg. Now, why do theologians fall to the side that she never died? Well, because death was one of the residual effects of original sin. If you go back to Genesis and you go back to 1 and 2, you know, that was one of the result and condition of breaking union with God, as Adam and Eve did. But we know that Mary didn't suffer from original sin. And so theologians will even talk about, I mean, she conceived Jesus in a supernatural way. We're told by theologians that she delivered Jesus by a supernatural means, which means that her virginity remained intact. And so it would not be inconsistent. It would rather be very consistent with that logic that she didn't experience natural death either. So she was assumed body and soul into heaven, keeping the body and the soul together, being the first fruits in that sense of the resurrection, that we'll all experience when our soul is reunited with our body. So, you know, there you go, Barbara.
You know, I just remember the second part of it was, when you say the angels, I a priest had told me, this is a servant of the home of the mother, that God himself, why God would not take Mary directly. He didn't need to have, he didn't put in these words, okay, so I'm not taking words, but God himself brought her, okay. And then Father Ehler on one of his podcasts said he did a whole history thing, and he said that it was St. Michael that brought Mother Mary to heaven. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, what I do think is that God works through the angels, right? So to say that God brought her to heaven would be a correct statement. But the fact of the matter is, how is it that God affects things in the natural order? He affects things through his angels, most typically. So when you read, angelology, so to speak, when you read that, you understand. And so we have these different choirs of angels that come from the three hierarchies. There's three hierarchies of angels, and there's three choirs in each hierarchy, and each one of them is specified by a certain overarching role that is played by that choir, and then their particular functions by that hierarchy, and then the specific functions of each of the choirs in that hierarchy are meted out underneath that general category of operation. So God works through his angels. Now, it could have been Saint Michael the Archangel, because certainly, we see him appearing in Revelation, and he appears in Revelation at that key moment when God has put the angels to a test and has revealed to them what his future plan is. And you read about that right at the close of Revelation 11. It talks about they saw the Ark of the Covenant. They saw the Ark of the Covenant. And then, these chapters were designated chapters. None of the sacred scripture was laid out in chapters. But then right there in Revelation 12, it identifies this Ark of the Covenant that they saw. It was not the Ark of the Old Covenant, it's the Ark of the New Covenant. And that Ark of the New Covenant is a person, and who they saw was Mary, the woman clothed with the sun, right? And so when Lucifer, angel of light, speculation is that he was a seraphim, the highest of the three hierarchies and the highest choir in that hierarchy. When he saw that God was going to bring forth his son by way of a human creature, and that his son was going to take on flesh, he just couldn't abide by that. And so that's when I will not serve. And, a mighty war broke out in the heavenlies. And so Saint Michael, in a sense, is defending God, because the devil was usurping, the position of God in his arrogance. I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to do my own thing over here. And that's when we're outside of the will of the Father. That is exactly what we're saying. Anyway, he was saying that. But what was he also defending? He was defending the plan of God, which was the coming of the Son by way of the woman, the woman. So in a sense, you could say that St. Michael was defending the woman. So there would be reason to think that St. Michael, came and escorted Our Lady into the heavenlies because he had shown himself to be a protector. But we could equally say maybe it was the angel Gabriel, because the angel Gabriel revealed to Mary God's plan for her in a very specific way when she was a child. And there's been speculation that the angel Gabriel, the archangel, was actually Mary's guardian angel. So these are things that, there's room. We're going to put this into the realm of speculative theology. There's room for discussion on these points. The church has not made definitive statement. And we can argue both ways on all of these things and still be within the heart of Holy Mother Church. So in these cases, I think that we adopt the stance that most speaks to our heart and enhances our faith and our love of God. That's always a good way to make a decision about these things. Personally, I think Our Lady, I think that our Blessed Mother closed her eyes, and just as we close our eyes right now and open them back up again, the angels were there and they lifted her up to heaven. That's what I think. I have a beautiful image on my computer screen of Mary being escorted to heaven by the angels, and it's just a lovely thing, and it brings me much consolation. So there you have it, Barbara.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Welcome.
And thank you for sharing everything about the Eucharist Congress that you went to in Minneapolis.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm still reeling from that. It was wonderful. God bless you, dear lady. Well, we so enjoy when you call in with your questions. And I'll tell you what, that was just a really very, very interesting opportunity to dig into, what the church teaches about Mary, what we're permitted to believe about her, and that tremendous moment. Because yesterday, of course, we did celebrate the feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into heaven. Of course, her body would not decay. It always troubles me when I'll hear individuals say, well, you can't pray to Mary because she's dead. Oh, my goodness, that's not even a scriptural thing to say. Why isn't it? Well, for all of the reasons that I just outlined, but it's not a scriptural thing to say about anybody. They are physically dead, but we know that the soul is immortal, so the soul lives on. Isn't it St. Paul that writes, O death, where is thy sting? Isn't it St. Paul that writes that there is no death in Christ Jesus? So we do wrong to think that our Blessed Mother is dead, or that the saints are dead, that we're praying to dead people. We're not. The soul goes on. It's immortal. It's going to be in one of two places. Ultimately, it's going to be in heaven or hell. It might take a little rest stop there for some purgation in purgatory, but that soul is already assured of its salvation. So, you know, our Blessed Mother is very much alive. She's alive in Christ Jesus. She's alive in the kingdom of God. And she's alive with us as our spiritual mother. What a beautiful thing. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live on this Glory to God Friday. It's the day we give glory to God for all kinds of things. But we take your questions just like we did Barbara. And we can have a holy discussion about all of these things. It's just marvelous. Let's get to Julie. She is in Providence, Rhode Island, listening to us via the EWTN app today. Good morning to you, Julie.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. And I wanted to just share a blessing that's sort of an encounter I had yesterday with someone. I was trying to fix my phone, and so I was on the phone with customer service. And this wonderful woman, her name was Jamnelia, mm-hmm. was full of life, and I just thought, oh, this person doesn't have the light of Jesus. She deserves it. She just was so naturally happy and joyful and all that. And usually, you know, in all my interactions, I might try to open the door a little bit, you know, say like, oh, have a blessed day, which is what I said at the end. We were just about to hang up. And she just kind of took that hook, and we had a quick chat about Jesus. So she was definitely a faithful, prayerful person, and so that was nice. We had a wonderful exchange, and then she, I don't know, I was just prompted to say, well, would you say a prayer for my daughter's going through something right now? And she said, well, I'd be happy to. She said, what about right now? And here she is.
Oh, like, I love it.
Working. And she took maybe two minutes. It was a long, like 2 minutes, like a long prayer. And she just, without knowing very much, you know, I just said my daughter was like dealing with some anxiety right now. That was it. She just said the most beautiful prayer. The words just came right to her. And it was beautiful to listen to, and she just said just the right thing. It's just beautiful. So I thanked her for that, and she said something like, well, she said, I also look for a place to just talk about it. And even if someone just says Merry Christmas, I use that as an entree point. So here she is.
Julie, that is beautiful. I'm going to have to ask you to hold it there because we're going to go to this break. We hear the music, and I don't want you to get cut off. But I love it, too, when someone makes use of an opportunity. We're going to be right back with you and everyone else. 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call. Waiting to hear from you on this Glory to God Friday.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams on this Glory to God Friday. It's the day that we talk about blessings that have happened to us through the course of our week from Sunday until today. We want to give honor and praise to God for all of the ways in which He works in our lives. And I like to take opportunity for us to do that in a public way. We're told to do that, to proclaim His marvelous deeds. And that's what we do on Fridays. We proclaim His marvelous deeds, but we take your calls about anything and everything. And we still love praying for you, yep, and with you. So please do let us know about prayer requests. We're going to get to yours in a moment here, Harold. But Julie is on the line, and she is in Providence, Rhode Island, and she's listening to us via the EWTN app. And she was telling us about a customer service representative that she was on the phone with, and she just felt prompted to wish her a blessed day, and the woman kind of paused, and it ended up that the woman offered to pray with Julie for an intention that Julie had, which had to do with anxiety for her daughter. And Julie was saying that that she takes advantage, she personally takes advantage of every opportunity, even if it's just to say what she said to the customer service representative, you know, have a blessed day, or, you know, Merry Christmas at Christmas time, or Christmas blessings. And that is a beautiful thing to do. And what really, Julie, I am thrilled about with regard to this encounter with the customer service rep is that the customer service rep made use of the opportunity, and that you yourself make use of the opportunity. You know, oftentimes people say, well, you know, will you pray for me? Well, yes, but it's always good to act in that moment, because when they're asking you for prayer, their heart is particularly receptive. That's why they're asking. So it's very good to go into prayer and to make use of that opportunity. And plus, with the hustle and the bustle of the day, sometimes we forget. So all of that being said, Julie, what a beautiful, beautiful way to proclaim the marvelous deeds of the Lord today. Prayer is just such an important matter, and praying for each other, such a great grace. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Thanks so
much. You're welcome. And your daughter, she suffers with anxiety?
She does. She's in a first-time relationship with a boyfriend. She's 20, and first time for him as well. And she's just not sure where the future, you know, they will be separated for a couple of years, and it's causing her some anxiety.
Sure.
And she just, is a little worrier. It's hard for her to kind of distract her mind from that. So I figured I'd get a prayer wherever I can, because I've been doing the praying, but I just believe in such the power of the prayer.
It's true. And, you know, let's just walk the talk right this moment. So let's just pray together for your daughter. So Father God, we come together in this moment and we lift Julie's daughter up to you. And you know the anxiety and the worry and concern that she has in her heart regarding this relationship, which is a new relationship and a fresh relationship and a first time experience with a relationship. And so it is, Father, that I would just ask that, number one, that you would bless this couple. If you have brought this couple together, I ask that you would bless this couple. I ask, Father God, that you would help for them to walk this relationship in a godly way. I ask, Father God, that you would give them every spiritual blessing in the heavens that they need to accurately discern if they are meant for each other, and if they are, to live and begin now to live a life of holiness and blamelessness in relationship to this relationship. Father, I ask that you would quell this anxiety and this fear. And Father, whatever is at the root of it, that root would be exposed. And what I'm thinking here, Lord, is, you know, if there's a misgiving here that she has about this young man, about fidelity, or a lack of certitude about his true feelings for her, you know, and if this is an appraisal that is justified, then Father God, I would ask that she would examine that root and see what's really causing this anxiety. Is it the fact that they're going to be separated and she's going to miss him? That's one thing. But if there is something else at work there, Lord, that needs to be discerned and then either set to the side because it's foolhardy, it's just the evil one tempting, or if there is something there that is justifiable, that's looked at carefully, because that will speak to the future of this relationship and how it should be. And so it is, Father, that I ask that through her guardian angel, she receives that consolation that she needs, that certitude that she needs, that peace of mind and heart and soul that comes by way of your Holy Spirit. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. And Julie, it occurs to me, and then I'm going to have to move on here, but it occurs to me, excuse me, that it might be very, very good for you to help her tease out what this anxiety and concern is over. You know, it's one thing to recognize that you're going to be separated from someone and to feel sad about that, and to, you know, not anticipating that moment of departure. But if there's something else that's at the root of that, she needs to look at it and see. And if this is her temperament, then she's got a grip with that, deal with that. Mm-hmm. But if there's something about the relationship that gives her cause and concern, that's important, because that this could really be, you know, just kind of an indicator from the Holy Spirit, and really not anxiety that's coming from no reason. So I would just, you know, maybe suggest that you help her to look at that a little bit in whatever way you can. So, but thank you for your call today, and thank you for your Glory to God report. I really liked it. Thanks, Julie. I know our listeners did too. God bless you now. Take care. God bless. All right, we're going to move on to Nikki. Nikki is a first-time caller from San Antonio, Texas, today, listening via Guadalupe Radio Network, and I'm ringing my bell for Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Donette. You make me cry already.
Oh, goodness sakes.
Sorry. Can you hear me okay? I'm in the car.
Yes, well, I don't want you crying in the car, because then you won't be able to see clearly. So dry your tears. And and what do you want to share,
well,
Nikki?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, honey.
I have a question on tattoos. I kind of got offended by a lady that I have met through a healing mass that I've been going to for a little over a month. It's called Life in the Spirit.
Yes.
And the priest, you know, kind of said that it was a portal to hell to have tattoos. And, you know, I just let it kind of come in one ear and out the other. And, you know, I don't worship Satan. I worship Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior, and he's the reason I'm alive. And
yeah.
Anyway, I went to a beautiful healing mass with my mother last night by a lady by the name of Vicki Smith. And it was just at a beautiful Catholic church in downtown San Antonio. And we were so uplifted and filled with the Spirit. And then at the end of it, she was another lady was that I see every once a week, asked me if the priest has ever seen my tattoos. And I said, well, I'm sure he has. I have a big back piece, and it's what they call a hippocampi. It's a mythological creature, and it's half seahorse, half unicorn, and it has wings. And this lady proceeds to tell me that it looks like the devil, and that I have a portal to hell on my back, and that I should probably go be exercised.
Okay, and, so Nikki, let's talk about this, sweetheart. So, you know, with regard to tattoos, you know, the church's stance is that tattooing in and of itself is it's not a sin. But when the tattooing begins to become, you know, obsessive.
Demonic.
And well, that too, you know, and people today, you know, so many of them are sleeved and they tattoo, you know, so much of their body, then they're really defacing the beautiful, beautiful person that God's created them to be. So there's that. Also, too, as we well know, not all tattoos are created equal, and some of them can carry meanings that are antithetical to the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, and can be a mockery of God. And certainly there are many demonic kinds of tattoos. Mythology is mythology, depending upon what that mythology or mythological tattoo is indicative of, and what that is referencing, that can be a problem or not a problem. But let's just talk about the issue. The tattoo is there, right? So that's a reality. Short of getting it lasered off of your body, that tattoo is there. Tattoos in and of themselves, you know, can be rather benign. However, it does bear saying that the tattoo artist, you know, oftentimes in tattoo parlors, these people are of an ilk that is very opposed to God, and some of them are participating in actions against God, whether in a formal way, like by belonging to a satanic coven, or through a less formalized way of standing in opposition to God. And it is true that sometimes those needles have had spells put on them, curses put on them, etc. So now what we're doing is we're allowing for that to enter into our person. Now, that can be spiritually problematic. It can be. So what I recommend, and I don't think what the woman recommended is a bad thing. You probably are not familiar with the individual that did the tattoo or their lifestyle or anything like that. I'm assuming that you did research on this mythological creature that you had put on your person. So you know the history of that. I do not. But it would not hurt. It would not hurt as a preventative. Especially because you're in a charismatic kind of group, this would be easily accomplished, to have a priest who operates in that prayer of deliverance to pray a deliverance prayer for you as a precautionary move in the event that anything, you know, any kind of spirit was attracted to you by way of that action. That is not bad advice. An exorcism, you know, exorcisms, you know, you can't get an exorcism just because you think you should have an exorcism. There's a whole process for that. And unless there is something that's indicative of a possession, you know, that is not going to happen anyway. But we can be oppressed by spirits. We can be obsessed by spirits. We can be harassed by them. I'm not saying any of that is the case with you. And it might not be. But it doesn't hurt to pray just in case. And then he should lead you through a little prayer to repent, reject, and renounce any kind of activity that would have purposely or inadvertently opened yourself up to such a potentiality. And this is the thing that people don't get about tattoos. This is why, you know, there's cautions on all of these things. You know, listen, I know many priests that have tattoos and wish they didn't, but they have them. But I am quite confident that they all went through that process just in case. I know other people very close to me who have tattoos and have gone through that process. And it's well recommended to do such a thing. At one point in time, you know, this probably would not have been an issue, but where we are at this current place in our culture today, every precaution we can take to safeguard ourselves is a good idea. So I would not allow yourself to, the evil one will try to tie you in knots about this thing. Certainly, maybe this woman could have been far more gentle in her approach to you, you know, in making a suggestion that might be a reasonable one. But, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, that you are willfully keeping open a portal to hell. That is way over the top, way, way, way over the top. It's obvious that you want to live a life in the Lord. Otherwise, you wouldn't be involved in what you're involved in, Life in the Spirit seminar, going to a healing mass. But, you know, truly, you know, sometimes people get carried away. That statement is a carried away statement and inappropriate. But to say, you know, you might want to consider having deliverance prayer just as a preventative measure in the outside possibility, or maybe within the realm of possibility, that something like this could have been communicated to you when you were unaware of it. How does that sound?
Heart and explained it beautifully. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Well, sweetheart, it's my pleasure to talk to you anytime. And I'm very proud of you and very pleased for you to be going through this Life in the Spirit seminar. I came back to the Catholic faith by way of the charismatic renewal. I will never disown the charismatic renewal. It's a wonderful thing. But again, you know, we have to use that good gift of discernment that we get by way of our baptism and strengthened in us through confirmation when we hear comments like this, okay?
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
You too, Nikki, and God bless you, sweetheart.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, it is true. You know, we sometimes say things, and we really have to test the spirit out of which it is that we're going to make a comment, and then really ask the Lord, should I make the comment, right? But the how in which we deliver a comment that might be well worth stating It makes all of the difference in how it's received. I just want to say Harold called and asked for prayers for Kathleen and Joe and Rachel and Mike. And these are his children and children-in-law. He says they are away from the church and he wanted to be joined in prayer for them. And so right this very moment, Father God, we just ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would prevail upon Kathleen and Joe, Rachel and Mike. Father God, you know, we know that when St. Monica prayed for her son, St. Augustine, you sent St. Ambrose because he could hear Ambrose where he couldn't hear his mother. And I ask that in this case, you would send a St. Ambrose to each of these individuals that they might be able to receive this message, even to have the seed planted that at some point in time might produce fruit in their life. We would take that, Lord God. I know that you love them. You sent your son for them. And I know, Father God, that you desire nothing more than relationship with them through your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it is that we lift them up to you. I thank you for Harold's concern, for his message today to us. And we pray, Father God, that all of this would come to be through the precious blood of your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Harold, we've got that covered, good man. Let's get to Debbie. She is in Charlotte, North Carolina today. First-time caller. I'm ringing my bell for her. Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Good morning, Janet.
How you doing,
thank
honey?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've never called before, but I have listened quite a bit. I just wanted to comment on the caller who was speaking about Mary,
yes,
and her assumption and that she died at the foot of the cross. I myself am a cradle Catholic, and I have always been very, very Marian. My mother was very dedicated to Our Lady, and I've worn a miraculous medal since I was little. Excuse me, I'm nervous to talk to you.
Oh, catch your breath. It's okay.
Anyway, I found a book. I was working at a local Catholic company, and I found a book there called The Life of Mary as Seen by the Mystics.
Mm-hmm.
And this book has got, it's a story of Mary's life, starting with,
yes,
St. Anne and St. Joachim when they were, before they were betrothed. Actually, it starts with St. Anne's life as a child, as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it has revelations from St. Elizabeth of Genoa, I think it's called, St. Bridget of Sweden, Venerable Mary, Mother Mary of Agreda,
mm-hmm,
Venerable Anne Catherine Emmerich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such, the way he weaves their locutions or their apparitions into a story of Our Lady's life.
Yes.
It has just been such a source of consolation for me. And I actually yesterday picked up the chapter about Our Lady's Assumption and coronation in heaven.
Yes.
And I just wanted to recommend that. I don't know. I mean, it is private revelation, but like you said, it was so efficacious in my curiosity about Our Lady's life, and it's kind of like a behind the scenes look, I feel like. It's,
yes,
just beautiful. I would recommend that book to you guys.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Debbie, for recommending it. It is a good book. It's published by TAN, a very, trustworthy, mm-hmm, publisher. Yes, and
right,
I'm familiar with it, and does a beautiful job of weaving all of this together to give us a storyline. You are right. All of this is based on private revelation. We can choose to believe private revelation or not once it's church approved. And we know Mary of Agreda and Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich are approved by the church. So we can look at what it is that they have said, and what it is that they have shared. And I always recommend that when we're looking at, supposed private revelation, that we wait for the church to make a pronouncement on it. And once the church makes a pronouncement on it, then, we can have confidence in what we're reading. Sometimes the church will hold it up for reasons that it has. And I'm thinking of like St. Faustina's work, Divine Mercy, was held up because the translations were so poor. We know that that's the case with a number of the different private revelations that are out there. But the thing of it is that once the church says that, okay, so this is, this is worthy of belief, then we have confidence that we can read it and make a decision for ourselves. If it helps us, fine. If it doesn't help us, that's fine too. But this is a great book and a very, very good recommendation for all of those who would like more information like that. And it can be edifying indeed. So thank you, Debbie. That's very thoughtful of you to call in and to share that good book with our listeners today.
Well, it was so lovely to speak with you. Thank you so much again, and God bless you for what you do all over the world. You were just so uplifting to so many women and people who listen to you. Just thank you.
Oh, thank you, Debbie, and God bless you. May God be praised for all of his goodness. There's a praise report for me right now, giving glory and honor to God that he uses the program to touch the hearts of people everywhere. What a great grace. Thanks, Debbie. You have a blessed and holy weekend, okay?
Thank you, Jeanette. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. I want to try to get to Marie really fast. I don't know, producer, do we have time? Oh, no, we don't. Marie from Louisiana, a friend, is a Bible study class and owns a yogurt studio and is offering tarot. How do I talk to her about this? She sees nothing wrong with it. Well, you know what I would do? I don't know if she's Catholic. You're in Louisiana. There's a lot of Catholics there. Maybe she, you could point out to her in sacred scripture, or excuse me, in, well, yeah, you could point out in sacred scripture, in Deuteronomy, for example, what it says about fortune tellers. You could also go to the catechism and show her if she doesn't believe in it, you know, what the church says. What you have to do is just tell her, you know, that is really consorting with evil spirits, and I wouldn't patronize the store anymore. God bless her that she's a friend, but oh well. I don't know how she could be a Bible study class and be doing this. Marie, thank you for your call. God bless all of you. Happy weekend to you now. Bye-bye.